What a privilege we have of knowing the goodness of God, of getting to sing his praise. We are just so blessed that we get to know this God who loves us so perfectly. Our first reading is from Isaiah 43, verses 16 to 21. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and there they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, and the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. I invite you to stand if you're able for our reading from Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh, again, Father, we thank you for this privilege that we have to gather today, to hear your word, to receive your love and your grace, to enjoy your presence as we're gathered in your name. And Lord, we ask you to open up our hearts and minds to recognize your presence. Open up our hearts and our minds to hear your word for each one of us. And Lord, open up our hearts and our minds that we would be knit together as your people, that we would together hear your word and what that means for us as we become the body of Christ. Lord, send your spirit to do the work that only you can do. Create faith in us and transform us, utterly change us, Lord, by your word and by your spirit from the inside out until everything about us points to you and to your goodness and your faithfulness, until everything in our lives brings you the honor and glory you are due. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Oh, you guys, it's so great to see your faces here today. So great to know that there are those on the other side of the camera joining us over the internet. You know, as I thought about what to preach on my last sermon, I got looking through the text, because I looked at the lectionary, and somehow the story of Noah just wasn't grabbing me for today. Let me come back to that, though, because last night the Lord did show me, yeah, how that could have been our message for today. But I looked at different texts, you know, and I just thought, oh, 17 and a half years I've spoken to some of you, and there's so many things I wish I could have said more about, or said at all, or, well, there might be a few things I wish I hadn't said, but, you know, as I looked at the scriptures, there's so many just precious texts that I wanted to share with you. And some of them are warnings, and I thought, oh, but that just didn't seem like it. And some of it was, I don't know. I had a great time just reading through scripture, but it just took me a while to finally come to, here's what I want to share with you. We have a good, good God who is always faithful and who is always bringing future and new beginnings. All my life, he's been so, so faithful. And that is true for every one of us, even though we don't always recognize in moments how faithful he has been. Because sometimes his faithfulness looks just so different from what we had hoped for. And let's be honest, lots of things happen in our lives that aren't the way God intended them to be. That is the reality of sin in this world. And yet our God is so good. He is so great. He is able to take what is not good and use it for good. Oh, he is so faithful and always creating a future with hope. In our reading from Isaiah, this is what's called Deutero-Isaiah or Second Isaiah. This portion of Isaiah, Isaiah 43 that we heard, is written while the people of Israel are in Babylon. So remember, God had raised up prophets warning the people, you got to turn from sin. You got to turn from these ways that are destroying you and are destroying your society. And if you don't turn from them, destruction is going to come. Did God want destruction to come? No. That's why he raised up prophets saying, listen to my word. And the people didn't. So, again, I just want to point out, not everything that happens is what God wanted to have happen. But God is so good. He is always redeeming. He is always taking what is broken and redeeming it for good. So yeah, the people end up going into this exile. Some people left behind, but many people taken away into exile. And you know what God says to them? In Jeremiah, he says, and when you're there, work for the good of the city. Because as the city is blessed, you'll be blessed. Because even while they're going to be in situations that are not what they hope for, not what they want, not even what God had originally wanted for them, he was still going to be blessing them and letting them be a blessing, because that's what God has always called us to do, always called his people to receive his blessing so that they could be a blessing. Blessings are always to come through us to point to the goodness of God. We get to carry his goodness. We get to declare his goodness. We get to demonstrate his goodness because he is always wanting to build up lives that have been broken and wounded in this world, broken and wounded by sin. So there in Isaiah, The Lord is talking to the people who have gone into exile. And they're going to be in exile for 70 years. And they're struggling and they're hurting. They feel like they can't worship God if they're not in their own land, and God has lots to teach them about that. They had thought that God was limited to place, and God makes very clear. The whole world is his, and he is everywhere present, and people can worship him in spirit and truth anywhere and everywhere. But he tells them, he reminds them through his prophet that there is reason for hope and there is reason for rejoicing. Because he's the God who even makes streams in the desert. And he is going to be making a way back for them. In fact, he reminds them of what was. Back when they had their exodus, leaving slavery in Egypt. And how that had looked so overwhelming and so impossible. Remember how they had escaped through the night, and then they get to the Red Sea, and now the Red Sea's in the way, and they've got an army coming after them, and what happens? God makes a way through the sea. And they get through, and their enemies are crushed. And what looked like it was impossible turned out to be a miracle to remind them of how great, how good, how powerful, how faithful God was. They were to know this reality and hold on to that, so it would give them courage and it would give them strength and it would give them creative ideas in whatever they'd be facing from then on. So now people are in exile in Babylon. And Isaiah says to them, yeah, remember what happened, that Red Sea thing, you know, when the horses and the chariots, they all got gathered up together, and then, yeah, now they're laying down at the bottom of the water. When Isaiah says, well, forget those former things, he's not really saying, no, forget about it. He's like, what's going to come is going to be nothing compared to that. But God is going to bring deliverance. He's going to bring restoration, because that's what he always does. That is who he is. He is always the God of hope, bringing new future, new beginnings. But he does it always in different ways. His deliverance is never just what it was. And he is, in fact, not creating a new past. He's making a new beginning. So the new beginnings will be different. And there will always be the things to remember and to rejoice. And in fact, Scripture tells us a lot. Remember all of the great things. But don't get stuck in the past, because there's new future. There is hope. When I say that in the deliverance, God's always doing it differently, take a look. Just read through one of the books, one of the Gospels, and you see all of these different healing stories of Jesus. Everyone is different. Sometimes he speaks a word. Sometimes he lays a hand. Sometimes he just gives a command. He does things. He brings his deliverance. He brings his healing in so many different ways, because our God, he's just incredibly creative, and he's incredibly powerful, and he's so able to, in whatever situation, show up in surprising but always surprisingly good ways. Of course, it's true that just because God is good and because God loves us doesn't mean life's going to be easy for us. Sometimes we get into bad situations because we've made bad choices. Sometimes we get into tough circumstances because other people make bad choices. And we're affected by one another's choices. And sometimes you can't even point to any particular choice. It's just there's brokenness in this world, and we're all affected by that. When Jesus invited people to come and follow him, he didn't promise it would be easy, but he promised that he'd be with them. No matter where they go, no matter what they do, no matter how hard it is, that God will be with his people. And that's what the real hope is. The hope isn't in circumstances being what we want. Our hope, our confidence, our strength is that God is with us in whatever those circumstances are, and God's going to be working it all together for good. Sometimes to be doing this purifying and this strengthening, sometimes it's a cutting away of things in us that need to be cut away, and sometimes it's the building up of the things that need to be built up. Sometimes we don't even see what it is that God is up to. But he's always up to something, and he's always up to something good. Because it's who he is. And even when it looks like an end, he's always the God of beginnings. There is Jesus, his beloved, who comes into the world into tough circumstances and lives a life of purity and goodness and gets rejected and gets persecuted and finally gets even put to death. And from a human point of view, it looks like an end. You know what Scripture tells us? That crucifixion, that was the point of victory. And if the powers of evil had known what was happening, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Because even utter evil can't triumph over who God is. He is so good. He is so able to take anything and use it for good. What looked like an end for Jesus was actually the beginning and the restoration that changed everything. That's what God does. Redeems and changes all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Go back to what this says in here in Isaiah. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. He says this to a people who are still in exile. And some of them won't ever leave exile. But their children will. Their grandchildren will. And while they're in Babylon, they can't see what's happening in the wilderness between them and their homeland. But God's up to something. That wasteland doesn't get to stay wasteland. What looks dry and empty actually turns into fertile ground for God to use. For God to bless his people in. You know, you look at Jesus, and he comes, and he does this amazing ministry and this amazing revelation of who God is. And there are some who get it, some who don't, and some who just try to destroy it. But Jesus, let me go to this. Jesus, who deserved none of the suffering that he went through, goes through it because of the joy set before him. He endured the cross and opened up new life, not just for him, but for all of us. And so whatever circumstance we are in, there's life. There's future. I'll tell you guys about this in a little bit, but this week my dad got very sick with sepsis. The doctor had said if they didn't get him moved to a better hospital that he wouldn't make it till the next morning. And what occurred to me is that even in death, there's new life. We can't even lose by dying because God always sets us up for future. Now, for us as a congregation, things are changing. And it feels a little bit like a death. As I'm going away and I wonder, what will things be like? What will things be like for me? What will things be like for you? I don't know. But I do know this. God's going to be with each of us. And he's always going to be creating future. And future is always different from the past. But God's faithful in it. And he's always bringing out good. I want to share with you a prayer. Some of you will know who this is, by Thomas Merton. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think that I am following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, will I trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. That is my great relief for me and for you. We don't always follow well. Sometimes we have our assumptions of what God's will is, and that might be a far cry from what God's will actually is. But even when we are unfaithful, he remains faithful because that's who he is. And even when we mess up, he's always the God of new beginnings, wanting to tell us who we are and who he is for us. It's not that God has a plan B. God just has a way of getting us back to plan A. And plan A is walking with him, enjoying his love and faithfulness, being shaped by his love and faithfulness so that his life in us gets revealed to a world around us, for the world around us to discover his love and his faithfulness, and his new beginnings. As we heard a few weeks ago, there is nowhere we can go from his presence. Nowhere. Even if in utter rebellion we make our bed in the depths of the hell, even there, he'll meet us and love us and invite us to follow him back to the road of life. And so, in an ending, I just remind you, we actually have no beginning. Trust him. Follow him. He's your life, and he's leading you to life. Amen.